You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day, and I'm joined on the line by Pietri Redling, as founder at Herenia Capital, to take a look at some of these market movements. Some of them are surprising, some of them not so much, but Pietri will give us some insights around that. Good evening, Marmalade. Lovely to speak to you again. Markets absolutely loving that CPI print in the US. Everything reacting positively to that.
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy. And yes, I mean, look, it's a bit more than that also. I think let's quickly check. Let's jump straight into CPI, shall we? It's not just CPI. So CPI, for example, the month-on-month number, let's have a look. The CPI number slightly better than expected. There was also just sort of core inflation and general inflation rate. Core inflation and both month-on-month and year-on-year and general inflation slightly lower than anticipated. But I will add with a caveat here, 0.1% lower than expected. So very, very small, right? So I think the market getting a bit ahead of itself. What was interesting is we saw mortgage applications for the month of June, until June 7th at least, was up 15.6% versus the previous number being down 5.2%. So there was a massive increase in mortgage applications. And I think that might be seen as a bit of a precursor to consumer sentiment, right? People are making home loan applications again because they're probably anticipating that rates will come down, I don't know. That combined with a lower than expected inflation number, you know, not by a huge amount, but lower is lower. The market is taking that as well. The rate cuts we've been expecting this year, which we've all been wrong about so far, is definitely around the corner at 8 p.m. this evening. So markets must rally. I don't know how well that thesis is going to hold up past 8 p.m., but at the moment, S&P 500 1.1% higher. 8 o'clock tonight, Fed interest rate decision goes live, and we'll obviously get the press conference and the minutes of the meeting will be released and all that, and we'll see a completely different reaction from the market probably in the next 2 hours or so.
That Fed decision, obviously, Pietri, that's going to be such a big thing. I know we are definitely not at this point expecting a rate cut, and it's more probably around the dot plot and what comes afterwards and how many rate cuts we might see between now and the end of the year and all of that. But are the markets showing with the CPI print from earlier that there's a little bit of desperation in the market? There's a little bit of desperation for some good news as to when this higher for longer narrative is going to end. I say that because when the CPI data came out, the gold price just shot up out of nowhere. And markets have kind of been under a lot of pressure to say, well, a lot of the narrative is going to be driven by the Fed. And maybe now the markets are also starting to say any good news is good news.
So any news is good news at this point. The NASDAQ is at all-time highs. The S&P 500 is at all-time highs. NVIDIA up another 4% today at $125. Keep in mind, this was a 10-to-1 share split the other day, so it's down from 1,260 down to 125, which, you know, if you adjust for, it's 1,257 essentially. So it's right back up at the all-time highs for this stock. We've got the GameStop thing happening again, which is just utter madness. I don't know if anything is going to hold this market down. My view is this. And I suppose the theory will be tested in time. But if we look back at history, right, whenever the rate cycle changes, there's an adverse and prolonged reaction from the market. And historically, if you look in a tightening cycle, why are interest rates going up? Because the economy is running hot. When interest rates historically, for the last 100 years or so, when interest rates get lowered in the US for the first time, that's when the recession starts. So that's what I think is potential, or at least the most likely thing to happen, is based on historical context for, you know, going forward. I think when that interest rate cuts, when those interest rate cuts start to come through, it's going to get to the point where, guys, our economy is actually slowed down so much. The only reason the markets are trading higher is on news hope and the Magnificent Seven. And when that can no longer sustain us, it's going to come crashing down. And that's why I think we see the reaction from gold. I think the gold reaction is, quote unquote, the smart money. Or, you see, that's me being biased, eh? The smart money. People who think like I do. Maybe it's just people who are risk averse and are like me with their heads in the sand at this stage playing ostrich. Is that a better way of saying it?
Pietri, I wanna look at a caveat that's been thrown in that wasn't around historically, that did come around in the last 3 or 4 years. So the prior recessions that have happened, the 2008 financial crisis, the Great Depression, all of the recessions, everything that's happened in the US in the past has happened without a $2 trillion stimulus package. This time around, we've got that. Yeah. And that's a big difference maker, I'd say. I think if we look at the impact that could potentially have, we've seen the ramifications of that. We've seen that play itself out in higher inflation and inflation being stickier than even what the Fed was able to predict. Do you think that could still rear its ugly head, or are markets at this point just saying we've priced in absolutely everything we can price in, we're just going to move on?
I think that markets are currently irrational. There's no way that you can price in something that has never happened before. We've created half of the money supply of the US dollar that's ever been created in the last like couple of years. It's unbelievable the amount of money that was printed. If other countries do this, Zimbabwe being a good example, they hyperinflate. Ooh. African countries hyperinflate all the time because they print money. The US does it, and somehow it's fine.
We don't even get to 10% inflation.
I don't see how the system hasn't broken yet, honestly. It's mind-blowing. And I don't know that is the truth. And I think anybody who tells you that they do know, I don't know. Maybe they're just smarter than me. But I don't understand how you can print essentially, you know, double the money supply in a space of a couple of years and not expect inflation to go absolutely through the roof. It's supply and demand. As is with everything, the more of it there is in circulation, the less value it has. It's the same with money, right? So the more money is in circulation, the less value it has. The only thing that's really backing the US economy at this stage is goodwill, if you will. And if you look at other countries, this BRICS currency, gold-backed currency story is not going away. What happens when that happens? Another thing that happened the other day, and it's a bigger story than I think most people realize, is the petrodollar agreement that was made with the Saudis, I think it was 40 years ago, where Saudi Arabia and, you know, large parts of the Middle East will only sell dollars, or only sell oil in dollars, no other currency. That ended this week. So that means that Saudi is free to sell oil in any currency it wants to, or accept payment in any currency it wants to for oil. What happens when the BRICS nations start buying oil in different currencies? And we now know that majority of the oil producing countries are BRICS members, or are in line to become BRICS members. So I don't know. It's a very interesting time to be alive. I wish I could tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, but I don't know. For now, my job is follow the line, right? If the market's going up, I'm going with it. I'm not fighting the trend. And I'm buying.
Never fight the trend. No, I definitely agree with you there, Pietri. There's a lot of new conversations that have been happening, and there's a lot of new results from those conversations. I mean, as you're mentioning this, I think as an example, I mean, if a country like China that has amongst the highest gold reserves in the world decides to start paying for its oil in gold, that's a completely different transaction, and the Saudis are definitely not going to say no to that, especially if we're dealing in a gold-backed reserve currency between the BRICS bloc. So that's definitely a new element that we have to look at. But for now, it seems as though the US markets continue to hold strong, and this goodwill has been sustaining them. I wonder if the goodwill will be enough to prevent a complete recession and a complete reset that we had anticipated in the US. I remember that was something that we were looking at. Domestically, before I let you go, Pietri, there's been a lot of things that have been moving around, but obviously the sentiment that's filtered through from US and global markets has been pushing up equity markets around the world. Was a mixed bag in the Asian side of things, or on the Asian side of things, with some of the markets like Russia being closed, but other markets doing well on the day. Our local market had a really good day with resources, industrials, and financials, all three sectors in the green. Is that a bit of the pressure coming off from what we've seen in terms of the dollar and in terms of the US narrative? Or did we just have a really good day on our side and we must take credit for that?
I think let's take credit where it's due. Our market is truly undervalued. This is a conversation you and I have had a few times. We are a nation of extremes, extremes in opinion, extremes in views and emotions. And we've been very downtrodden about our own stock market, right? Volumes are sort of really low. Investment levels are really low. I think that a lot of the companies that we have here are trading at multiples that are so cheap, they're hard to ignore. I mean, look at SPAR today, right? And I'm curious to listen to your conversation that you'll be having with them a bit later on, I believe. I mean, up almost 12% on the day on the back of a decent set of results, right? Other big names on our list, at least, Sun International up 2.3, Gold Fields up 2.25, We Buy Cars up 2.1, MTN up 1.8. It was a really strong day across the board, and I think a lot of that flow coming in. As there's, well, the US is charging. So risk on sentiment around the world, and people are coming in and buying bargains where they find them. And we're a very attractive investment opportunity or investment destination, at least, despite what we South Africans might believe, we are still a high quality investment destination for a lot of people.
And I think that's something that, as you rightly mentioned, we tend to forget from a South African perspective is we still have really good stocks, really good companies in South Africa that, by global comparison, are doing exceptionally well. I'm definitely going to look forward to the conversation I'm going to have with Angelo Swartz about the SPAR business. There's a lot to unpack there. Three separate SENS announcements that we have to go through with three separate outcomes, or, well, one of them is results, and two of them are around the Polish business and the resignation of the CFO, but we'll get into those and other stories when we speak to the SPAR team. For now, Pietri, lovely to speak to you as always. Thanks so much for those insights and for the time. Get your head out of the sand. We have lots to do. The markets are not going to wait for us. We have to keep moving. Pietri Redling is founder at Herenia Capital, joining me to look at what's been moving some of the markets and what's been scaring him and having him behave like an ostrich, so to speak.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.